Ezekiel in chapter 9. Try not to keep you too late. We do want to try to get through these verses here. We're presently looking at thoughts from verse 6, and then tonight's thoughts will get into verse 7. But let's read verses 5, 6, and 7. And to the others, he said in mine hearing, that is, to other six men. Remember, the chapter started out, Ezekiel to give forth the call, summons the guards of the city. And six came with slaughter weapons in their hand and ready to do the work of destruction. But a seventh came, and he was clothed in linen, which would have been symbolic of the priest's garb, particularly the high priest, proclaiming Jesus Christ. And he had a writer's inkhorn by his side. And his task was to mark those for salvation who were mourning and lamenting over the sins of the city, Jerusalem, and the country, the nation of Israel and Judah. And he was to precede the six in his job. He was to go before the six. And these six were to come along behind. And to the elders he said in mine hearing, go ye after him, after the one clothed in linen, with the rod of inkhorn, through the city, and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women. But come not near any man upon whom is the mark. And begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men, which were before the house. Remember those ancient men? We read chapter 8, verse 16. Those 25, those ancient men, and they were there in the entrance of the house of the Lord, the temple, and they had their backs to the temple. And they looked towards the east, and they were worshiping the sun. This was in the holy house, the ornament of beauty in the holy city, Jerusalem. This was taking place. And we've seen great abominations through that eighth chapter that was going on. But then the ancients of the city, the ones who were to be the leaders, were there. And they even had turned their backs on the God of Israel and were worshiping that which the God of Israel had created. Verse 7. And he said unto them, defile the house and fill the courts with the slain. Go ye forth. And they went forth and slew in the city. So we've been dealing with point number 5 of this ninth chapter, and that is the command to execute. We saw that they were ordered to destroy all, and they weren't to spare any. They weren't to have compassion upon any. I mean, young child, old man, old woman, they were to kill them all. All that The one clothed in linen had not marked. The mark was not upon. We notice the directions that were given concerning those that were marked. Don't you come near them. They're mine. You remember the likeness there. See, no one can come near God's elect. No one can lay a hand upon us without God's permission. We're His. We're under His protection, and we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That is a mark. We're sealed. And that mark can't be broken, can't be removed. Safekeeping. It is. We this week come to the third point under this fifth point. We began that last week and got through a couple other sub-points. But it was instructions to begin at the holy place. Begin at the house of God. Begin at the temple. Begin at my sanctuary. They had desecrated it. We looked back in the seventh chapter, two chapters ago that we had studied. And he said, I want them in a beauty. And you have defiled it. Of great beauty. They began, we said last week, with the ancients, with the old. We mentioned that as we read that in our verse tonight. We referred to verse 16. Judgment must begin at the house of God. We looked at the book of Amos in chapter 3 and verse 2. He told Israel, he said, you only have I known above all the nations of the world. You only have I known. Therefore, I will punish you for your great iniquities, for your great abominations. See, judgment began with him. He wasn't punishing. He wasn't destroying the nations around him. He wasn't destroying the nation from which they came, Egypt. Now, he has an admonition later in the book of Ezekiel concerning five nations, which nations around them, and one of them is Egypt, from which they came. But he's beginning with Israel. We're told in the book of Romans in chapter 2 and verse 9, we looked at last week, said that begins with the Jew first. And then with the Gentile, those that do evil. Jew first, and then the Gentile. Gentile, not escape. Chapter 11, he said to us that are grafted in to the root. He said, God did not spare the natural branches. Don't think that he'll spare you. He'll cut you off also. He's not talking about salvation. That's talking about a fiery, ignorant nation that'll devour the adversaries, which you read of in the book of Hebrews in chapter 10. For our iniquities, for our sins, which we commit. And so he said in the book of 1 Peter in chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, judgment must begin at the house of God. Judgment must begin at the house of God. It will begin with the house of God. We said, in closing last week, that it'll begin with his pastors, the ancients. It'll begin with his pastors. His pastors are given charge over their congregations, over their assemblies. They're to watch for and care for. We expressed last week much of the care that a pastor has on his heart for his flock that God has given him. And so we're admonished in the book of Hebrews, obey them that have the rule over you. Why? Because they watch for your souls as one that must give an account before God. You see, I have to give an account to God for each one of you and myself. And that's why we're admonished, as pastors are admonished in the book of Acts, chapter 20 and verse 28. Looking unto yourselves first. Looking unto yourselves. And then call the flock, which he's made you overseers. So pastors will be, judgment will begin at the house of God, and it'll begin with his pastors. It won't stop there. It'll go on down to the rest as well. This judgment, we're going to see, didn't stop with the ancients. It continued on. So we come tonight to verse 7 and said, defile the temple, which is the fourth point under the third point under the fifth point. Now that means nothing to you if you don't outline. But to those of you that outline, you know where I'm at. Roman numeral 5. And then you got A, B, and C. And then you got some subpoints under that. Defile the temple. He told them to defile the house, defile the dwelling place, defile his dwelling place that was supposed to be his dwelling place. And as we're reading through this ninth chapter, we see that he's not departed completely yet. We had a message on that one Wednesday evening. And then we get into the tenth chapter, we're going to see he's getting right, and then he's gone. He's exited from there. Ichabod is written over the door. And he said, fill the courts with the slain. Does that strike you in any way? Fill the court with dead bodies. The courtyard of the temple, it was still holy. The courtyard was still holy. Fill it with dead bodies. Fill the house with dead bodies. Defile it. The Israelite regarded a corpse as an unclean thing.
Yes.
By the command of God. The presence of such in the temple, the most holy place, in the courtyard, would cause it to be unclean. Defiled. And you can read of that defilement in the book of Leviticus in chapter 21, verse 11, there in his instructions concerning the high priest. The high priest was not even to enter into a house, even if the house was of his father and mother who had passed away, because it was unclean. Book of Numbers, chapter 19, verses 11 through 14, tell us the process. If any man came near, touched a dead body, the process that they had to go through. They were unclean for 7 days. And the third day, they had to go through a ritual and offer for it. And then at the end of 7 days, they were clean. If they did not do the third day,
the business required on the third day, then they were still unclean past 7 days.
You see, that third day business had to be completed. If it wasn't completed on the third day, and you come seventh day and you expected to be called clean by the priest, it wasn't going to happen. Not until you did your business that was required on the third day. And then you had a time past that, you see. But the temple, these were to defile the temple with the slain, with the dead bodies. Why? Because they had already defiled it with their abominations. Turn with me to the 7th chapter again tonight. I've referred to it twice, and the third time we'll read it. In verse 20 of the 7th chapter, as for the beauty of his ornament, and the temple was beautiful. The worship was beautiful as it portrayed Jesus Christ. It portrayed a sacrifice for sin. It was a worship to God. It was beautiful. The church is a beautiful thing if it's not defiled. It's a place that God has set. It's called the body of Christ. Christ is the head. The church is called the body of Christ.
The body of Christ is a holy thing, beautiful. So long as we don't defile it.
As for the beauty of his ornament, he set it in majesty. But they made the image of their abominations and of their detestable things therein. Therefore have I set it far from them. You see, they had already defiled it
with their abominations, their great abominations. They're detestable things. And remember, as we went through the 8th chapter, I mean, there wasn't
a creation of God that they didn't have pictured on the wall, in which they were worshiping. They were worshiping it all.
They were told to go through the city in verse 5. We read that tonight. Go through the city. Go through the city of Jerusalem, the entire city.
Sin, wherever sin has gone, judgment's sure to follow. We've already referred to this virus outbreak as it's just judgment.
I couldn't help but think today, as I was studying, I couldn't help but think of the readings in the Old Testament. Israel sinned, and thousands of people died.
It was the judgment of God upon their sin, time and time again.
What a manifestation of God's judgment. Where sin has gone, judgment sure to follow. Beginning at the house of God. Beginning with his under-shepherds, his pastors. And it will not end there. Read to you two verses that we read last week. 1 Peter 4 and verse 17. In closing, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17. For the time has come, he says, that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin in us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?
And I thought again, as I read that, another good proof of a pre-trib rapture.
Judgment must begin in the house of God. He's going to call us up, and what's going to take place?
The judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ. You see.
But if it begins with us, what shall it be for those who know not Jesus Christ, that have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ?
Hebrews 13, verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. We'll stop there tonight. Next week, we'll begin the sixth Roman numeral of this ninth chapter, and we'll be dealing with Ezekiel's supplication. Oh, a lot of truth there is in that. As we look at Ezekiel supplicating on the behalf of these that are to be destroyed, these sinners, these ones who are guilty of great abominations. And Ezekiel supplicates on their behalf. Shall we stand, be dismissed with a word of prayer? Brother Mike, would you dismiss us, please?